This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, June 13th, 2011. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, three ways of looking at a rose. When it comes to poetic subjects, it's hard to think of one more poetical, in the worst sense of that word, than flowers. And among flowers, the rose must be the queen of all poetic clichés. But even though poets are understandably terrified of clichés, roses keep popping up in contemporary poems. It's as if poets are daring themselves to do something interesting with an object that has already been talked to death, and daring us to look again at something we thought we knew. So now that summer is here and the real roses are out in all their splendor, let's hear a few rose poems. First up is a poem by the great modernist H.D.
This is one of the iconic Images poems.
That's poet Anna Bozicevic. When we record poets reading their own work, we often ask them to read a poem by another poet that they love. And Anna Bozicevic chose H.D.'s poem The Garden, which was first published in Poetry magazine in 1915.
This poem does make me think a lot of the appearance of rose in the poems of that time, like William Carlos Williams' Rose in Spring is All, and even Gertrude Stein's Rose. There's something about the rose that seemed to have captured the imaginations, because I guess not only is rose this emblem of a past era of poetry, the, you know, romantic rose, but there's this need to reimagine it as this sort of concrete imagist object, almost like a cubist object or an abstract object. So they're really grappling with the rose, which I think is wonderful.
H.D.'s rose is hard, almost like a sculpture that the poet would like to smash but can't, because it's so hot and she can't seem to move. The poem is in two parts.
Garden. One. You are clear, O rose, cut in rock, hard as the descent of hail. I could scrape the color from the petals like spilt dye from a rock. If I could break you, I could break a tree. If I could stir, I could break a tree. I could break you. Two. O wind, rend open the heat, cut apart the heat, rend it to tatters. Fruit cannot drop through this thick air. Fruit cannot fall into heat that presses up and blunts the points of pears and rounds the grapes. Cut the heat, plow through it, turning it on either side of your path.
Anna Bozicevic reading Garden by H.D. So what is this hard, unbreakable rose doing in this poem? And what about the heat? I had no idea, so I asked Anna.
Well, I think this rose is sort of the impenetrable outer world. I mean, the heat is there, obviously, and it's impossible to move because it's so hot. So the heat just sort of accentuates the impossibility of really making a mark on the rose or the pear, or anything, you know, obviously that she's observing. So I think the heat is sort of the embodiment or a manifestation of this distance between the poet and what she perceives. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
That's my take on it, at least.
But at the very end of it, when she says, cut the heat, plow through it, turning it on either side of your path, it's forceful. She's suddenly saying, if the world is impenetrable, we can't accept its impenetrability. We must do something about it.
Yeah, it's also interestingly constructive and agricultural with the plow. Because plowing presumes some sort of labor that will bear fruit.
Right.
So I think it's wonderful. It's like, you know, you don't have to take mushrooms. You can just read H.G. and experience the heaviness of air and the bluntness of pears.
Well, there go my plans for the weekend. Next up, a much more recent rose poem by Jean Valentine, published in her 2007 book, The Boat. Jean Valentine has said that in her poetry, she is going towards the spiritual rather than away from it. And that direction is very clear in this poem. The rose here seems to be life itself, which comes from life in order to create more life.
The rose. A labyrinth. As if at its center, God would be there, but at the center, only rose, where rose came from, where rose grows, and us inside of the lips and lips, the likenesses, the eyes and the hair we are born of, fed by and marry with. Only flesh itself, only its passage. Out of where? To where? Then God the Mother said to Jim in a dream, "Never mind you, Jim. Come rest again on the country porch of my knees."
Jean Valentine reading The Rose. I'll bet you were surprised by that ending. It's as if our existential questions about life,
out of where, to where,
can only be answered by the supernatural. In this case, God the Mother appearing in Jim's dream.
Never mind you, Jim. Come rest again on the country porch of my knees.
I don't know about you, but I can't think of a more benign image of death than that. Jean Valentine has lived for many years in New York City, but urban life rarely intrudes in her poems, which seem to drift through a dreamlike wilderness. Not unlike a lot of poems by her fellow New Yorker, Galway Cannell, whose nature poems also have a spiritual thrust. Okay, so the Galway Cannell poem that I'm going to play is not about a rose. It's actually about a pig. But what's the difference anyway? Not much, says Galway Cannell.
St. Francis and the Sow. The bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower, for everything flowers from within of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on its brow of the flower, and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. As St. Francis put his hand on the creased forehead of the sow and told her in words and in touch, "Blessings of earth on the sow," and the sow began remembering all down her thick length, from the earthen snout all the way through the fodder and slops to the spiritual curl of the tail, from the hard spininess spiked out from the spine down through the great broken heart to the sheer blue milken dreaminess spurting and shuddering from the 14 teats into the 14 mouths sucking and blowing beneath them, the long, perfect loveliness of sow.
You can read all three of these poems and many thousands of others on our website, poetryfoundation.org, where you can also watch poetry videos and listen to hundreds of audio programs about poetry. Do let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.